the Treaty of Stolbovo, and the speech of the Swedish king. At the beginning of the 17th century, Ivangorod was a mighty and advanced fortification. As Peter Petreus, the Swedish diplomat and historian, put it, Ivangorod Fortress, lying on the Narova River, was extremely strong and divided into three parts. It was named after the great Duke Ivan. From Pskov to Dorpat, it would have been possible to sail on vessels across Lake Peipus and the Narova River to the Baltic Sea if bushes and rocks, which were about half a mile from the fortress, were not there. In 1612, the Swedish king pressed its troops into Ivangorod and entered the fortress. Now, according to the chronicles, it happened because there was no bread left in Ivangorod and the people were eating leather. The Swedish king Gustav Adolf was well aware of the right of the Russian people to the territory invaded by the Swedes. While Narva was the lock on the gates to the Baltics, Ivangorod was the key to the lock. The Russians wanted to get back their territories and turned on the Swedes. The war finished in 1617 by the signing of the Stolbovo Peace Treaty. Before it was entered into, violent negotiations had been held between Swedish and Russian ambassadors. The Russian ambassadors were acting in a very dignified manner and asked for the return of Livonian towns and Novgorod the Great as patrimonies of the great Russian Tsars. The answer of the Swedes was the following. Russian Tsars obtained Livonian territories through lies, and God is taking his revenge on them through us. The Russians objected. Livonia has been ours since the ancestors of our Tsars, from George Yaroslav the Wise and Grand Prince of Rus, who built the Livonian Yureyev, Tartu, named after him, and the Novgorod Republic has belonged to Russia since Rurik, and it has been ruled by us ever since. The Swede said with a smile, "You will see neither hide nor hair of Livonian towns." However, after 2 months of negotiations, a peace treaty was signed. According to it, Sweden obtained the fortress of Ivangorod, Jam, Kapore, and Oreshek. The Swedish king was happy with the peace treaty, and he expressed his satisfaction in his speech in the Swedish parliament. "God has done a great thing for Sweden by making the Russians, with which we have been living in instability and a dangerous situation for ages, will now have to leave the nest of robbers from which they used to bother us so often. The Russians are dangerous neighbors. The borders of their territory stretch to the north, Caspian and Black Seas. They have powerful nobility, numerous peasantry, crowded cities. They can set up a very large army. And now this enemy cannot heave a single ship into the Baltic Sea without our permission. Large lakes, Lagoda, Peipus, the Narva area, 30 miles of vast marshes and strong fortresses separate us from it. The sea has been taken away from Russia, and with God's blessing, it is now going to be difficult for the Russians to jump over this stream." This is how Ivangorod turned out to be part of the Swedish kingdom for almost 90 years. Wishing to lure the Russian population on his side, Gustav II granted the rights of self-administration to Ivangorod. The city had its own magistrate and a coat of arms. In 1645, at the order of Queen Christina, Ivangorod and Narva were united.